الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. On Monday morning, the Iqama for the Fajr Salah was called out, and Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an went forward to perform the Salah as he was doing for the last few days. During the Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised the curtain which was on the doorway of his home, and he looked at the congregation of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he smiled with happiness. On seeing the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beaming with nur, such delight overcame the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that they almost broke their Salah out of extreme happiness. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu an says, مَا رَأَيْنَا مَنْظَرًا كَانَ أَعْجَبَ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ وَجْهِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حِينَ وَضَحَ لَنَا, that we did not see a sight which was more pleasing to us than the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up this curtain and looked at us. Abu Bakr radiallahu an also thought that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming out to lead the salah. So he began to move backward. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured to him that he should continue performing the salah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered the curtain. This was the last time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this last sight of his Sahaba radiallahu anhum was a sight of approval, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, looking at this jamaat, at this group that he had left behind, feeling confident that this group will continue with my mission and they will take my deen to the four corners of the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the last time he looked at them, he gave them a smile. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that as the hour of the mort and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his woolen sheet over his Mubarak face. But when he would feel hot, then he would remove the sheet from his face. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, La'natullahi ala al-Yahudi wal-Nasara ittakhadhu qubura anbiya'ihim masajid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of the Anbiya as places of worship. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a message to the ummah that my qabr and my rawda should not be made a place of worship. Therefore Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha would say that had it not been for this reason, then the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been exposed. It would have not been covered as it is now in walls. Rather, it would have been exposed. However, it was because of the fear that people will begin to make it a place of worship. Therefore, it was covered in this manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus gave this message to his ummah and to the sahaba radiallahu anhum that they should not make his qabr a place of worship. On the final day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, when his blessed head was resting on the chest of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, O Aisha, what happened to the gold? So there was a few coins of gold which was in the residence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired regarding those coins of gold. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that we still have those coins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that spend it in sadaqah and give it away in sadaqah. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slipped into unconsciousness. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regained his consciousness, then the first question that he asked, Have you spent the goal, O Aisha? When Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha replied in a negative, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for it. Then he took these gold coins, either 5 to 9 gold coins they were. He took them in his Mubarak hands and he began to turn them in his hands. And he said, مَا ظَنُّ مُحَمَّدٍ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَوْ لَقِيَهُ وَهَذِي عِنْدَهُ. That what does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feel? What does he think if he has to meet Allah whilst he has these gold coins in his possession? Oh Aisha, spend it. And thereafter, these gold coins were spent immediately. This shows us again the disinterest that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in the material possessions of this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last few moments of his life, or last few hours of his life, he had given certain very important nasiha and advice to his ummah. Throughout his mubarak and blessed life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to advise his ummah. However, in this last few moments, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave certain advice to his ummah. And these advices would obviously be the most pertinent and very, very important advices from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it would be regarded as the parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When listening to these advices, we should listen to these advices with this frame of mind. That this is my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's last words to me. And his last pleads to me. These are the parting advices that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given me. So one of the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned during those last few hours of his Mubarak life, where he mentioned, أَخْرِجُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. That remove the polytheists, the Jews and Christians, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, those who ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove them from the Arabian Peninsula. وَأَجِيزُ الْوَفْدَ بِنَحْوِ مَا كُنْتُ أُجِيزُهُمْ. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that they should give gifts to the delegations that come. Those that come from other parts of the world, delegations that come to Madinah Munawwara, they should give gifts to them as I would do during my lifetime. So this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to removing the mushrikeen from the Arabian Peninsula is something that we can see. We can see the importance of it today when the enemies have taken control of the Muslim lands and how the Muslim countries are so unable and so weak that they cannot even help their own brothers and sisters that may be living in their neighboring countries. So this was the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that don't allow them to come there. Don't even keep them there. Rather, you should expel them from the Muslim lands. Expel them from the Arabian Peninsula. Now obviously this advice, to practice on this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly is not within our control, because these lands are not within our control. However, this advice also applies to us in a different way. And that is, one is the Muslim countries and the Arabian Peninsula, which is not within our control. However, our lives and our bodies are within our control. Our homes and our families are within our control. So this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would apply to us in this sense, that remove the ways of the Jews and Christians and the lifestyle of the disbelievers from your homes, from your lifestyles, from your families. Remove it and don't have anything to do whatsoever with their ideologies, with their mindset, with their culture, with their media, with the education system, and all the different things that through which they use to invade your minds and invade your hearts. So one is their invading of Muslim lands. If they have to invade Muslim lands, but they have not invaded the Muslim mind, then they still have not defeated the Muslims. However, they may not invade the Muslim land, but if they have invaded the Muslim minds, then the Muslims are thinking as they want them to think. They don't need to be in our lands, but they are controlling us. Therefore, this is a very important advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in today's time when people are pushing for normalization of relationships, where we compromise on our deen in order to accommodate them, etc. We can see what's going on in the Muslim world. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his parting advices was that expel them from the Muslim lands, do not accommodate them. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a bequest to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu during this time. Ali radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed me to write down some advice, due to which the ummah will not go astray after me. So Ali radiallahu anhu says that I feared that if I have to go to get writing material, then in that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may pass away. So I mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will memorize and remember this advice. So you mentioned this advice to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Usi bis salati wa zakati wa ma malakat aymanukum, that my advice is that you hold firmly to salah and you correctly discharge your zakah and you show kindness to your slaves and your subordinates. This advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comprises of three aspects: salah, zakat, and kindness to slaves and subordinates. Zakat was mentioned on this occasion. However, the other two aspects, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously repeated it to such an extent that Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, the respected wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to repeat this advice until his blessed tongue could no longer say any words. What were those advices? As-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum, that hold firmly to your salah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in those last few moments, when his voice could not even come out, but the concern for salah was so much, and the instruction of salah for his ummah was so important, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously mention these words, that be careful and be watchful over your salah, perform your salah correctly, hold firmly to your salah, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, and show kindness to your slaves. The ulama mentioned a very important point and a very interesting point. They say, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this. He says that in these two advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encapsulated the entire deen. Because deen is broadly categorized into two categories. Huququllah, the rights that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is huququl ibad, the rights which we owe to fellow human beings. From among the rights that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest right that we owe to Allah is salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted the importance of salah, impressing on his ummah that we should fulfill all the rights which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then with regards to the rights that we owe to fellow human beings, then normally a person would think that the slave has the least amount of rights over the master, because the master owns him. This is not an employer-employee relationship. This is a slave and master relationship. When slavery was in vogue, so the master owns the slave. The slave cannot do anything of his own. He is totally controlled by the master. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that even in this kind of a relationship, where you feel that you have total authority over the person, and the person does not have any rights over you, you make sure that you fulfill the rights of your slaves and be kind to your slaves. When a person will be kind to his slaves, then he will definitely be kind to his spouse. Then he will definitely be kind to his neighbors. He will definitely be kind to his parents. He will definitely be kind to all the others who have rights over him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by mentioning to the ummah the importance of showing kindness to the slaves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam impressed on the ummah the importance of all huququl ibad, all the rights of fellow human beings. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these two sentences of his, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encapsulated the entire deen. If you look at these last advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and these bequests that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, we would find that it only relates to deen. The advices were only relating to deen. So whilst it is very important for a person to make bequests with regards to dunya, so outstanding wealth, etc., he should be making bequests in terms of who owns what, clarifying those things, these bequests he must be making. But together with making these kind of bequests, it is very important for a person to make bequests with regards to the deen of his family. To give advice, deeny advice to his family, how they should continue after his demise, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he neared his end, he was experiencing severe pangs of death. To such an extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam dipped his Mubarak hand into a vessel of water and wiped it onto his face. And he would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakarat, la ilaha illallah, death has severe pangs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also made this dua, Allahumma a'inni ala sakaratil maut, O Allah, assist me through the pangs of death. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, when I saw the pangs of death which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through, then I realized that experiencing severe pangs of death is not a sign of misfortune. If it was a sign of misfortune, then na'udhu billah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have never experienced pangs of death. However, the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also went through sakarat and he went through the pangs of death, it is a sign that this is not a misfortune for a person. Therefore she says, I do not dislike the severe pangs of death for anyone after I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam experiencing it. When Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this condition, she took hold of his Mubarak hand, passed it over his Mubarak body, whilst reciting, Adhibil ba'sa rabban nas, remove the sickness, O Rabb of people. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam removed his hand from her hand, and he said, As'alullah al-rafiq al-a'la al-as'ad, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit me among the highest and most fortunate companions, meaning to admit me among the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, among the high ranking awliya and friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and among the shuhada and martyrs. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to us that every Nabi before leaving this world is shown his place in Jannah, and then he is given a choice that you can remain in this world or you can choose Jannah. She says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell unconscious, his head Mubarak was in my lap, he was resting on my chest. She says that when he regained his consciousness, he raised his gaze towards the roof of the house and he said, Allahumma rafiq al-a'la, O Allah, I'm asking you to be admitted among the highest companions. She says that I understood that this was the moment when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was being given the choice to live in this world or to go to Jannah and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I understood that now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has made his choice that to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that among the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away fi bayti wa fi yawmi wa bayna sahari wa nahari. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away in my residence, in my home. He passed away on my day, which means although he was spending the last few days of his life in my home, however, the day that he passed away coincided with my turn. If he followed the normal turns, that would have still been my turn. And then وَبَيْنَ سَحَرِي وَنَحَرِي, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's head was between my chest and my neck. And the last thing that entered his Mubarak mouth before leaving this world was my saliva. And she explains what happened. She says that my brother Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma entered and he was making miswak. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at him. She says when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the miswak, I immediately understood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to make miswak. This is how she understood Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was so attuned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that just by the mere looking at something, she immediately understood what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted. So she says, "Akhudhuhu lak, O Nabi of Allah, must I get that miswak for you?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied in the affirmative. She took that miswak. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed it in his Mubarak mouth. It was a bit hard for him. She removed it. Nabi Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha softened the miswak. She softened the miswak with her own teeth. And thereby her saliva went onto that miswak. And then she gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam this miswak. So she says that Allah made it such that my saliva and his saliva had met at this point. Therefore the last thing that went into his mouth, Mubarak mouth, was my saliva. And she says that I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam making miswak on this occasion in such a manner that I never saw him making a more excellent miswak than this occasion. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his Mubarak finger, Mubarak hand forefinger towards the sky, and thrice he said, "Fi rafiqil a'la, O Allah, admit me among the highest companions." So this was one of the last few words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. What is meant by the highest companions? In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly mentioned. He said, "Ma al-ladina an'amallahu alaihim min al-nabiyyin wa-siddiqin wa-shuhada'i wa-salihin." Whilst in these last few moments, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read this ayat, "O Allah, admit me among those whom you have favored, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the Siddiqeen, who are the highest ranking of awliya, highest ranking awliya, among the shuhada and the martyrs, and among the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then the last words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, as Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says, that just before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, she leaned towards him. Whilst he was reclining against her chest, she leaned forward to hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioning at that time. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, "Allahumma ighfir li warhamni walhiqni bil rafiq al a'la." Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, shower your mercy upon me. And oh Allah, admit me among the highest companions. Here we understand the importance of making dua for maghfirah, and the importance of making dua for rahmah. You will find it very commonly in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma ighfir li warhamni, Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna. So making du'a for forgiveness and making du'a for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ma'asoom. He was sinless. However, to teach his ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously made du'a for maghfirah, he made du'a for forgiveness, and he made du'a for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And furthermore, the importance of good company. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not require good company. He was the best of company. In his company, people's lives changed immediately. In a second, people's lives changed in his company. However, again, impressing upon the ummah, the importance not only of good company in this world, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua for good company also in the akhirah, to be in the company of the anbiya and the pious. The importance again of good company we understand from these words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these were the very final words that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. When his voice could not come out anymore, Aisha radiallahu anha went forward and she heard Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning these words, "Allah, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني والحقني بالرفيق الأعلى." Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha would show people thereafter, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she would show them a coarse upper garment, and she would say that in this piece of cloth the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his body. A simple coarse piece of cloth, impressing on the ummah again the importance of simplicity with regards to the exact time and the date that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. He passed away on that Monday. So the sickness commenced on the Wednesday. For an entire week, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sick. And then, till the following Monday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's illness continued. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on a Monday at midday. At midday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away at the age of 63. With regards to the exact date, there are different views which the ulama have mentioned with regards to exact date of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving this world. One of the views is a very famous view of the 12th of Rabiul Awal. However, many of the distinguished ulama of hadith and seerah are of the opinion, their preferred view is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on the 2nd of Rabiul Awal. So there is this difference with regards to the exact date. There are those ulama that mentioned the 12th of Rabiul Awal. However, the preferred view among many of the senior muhaddithin like Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimullah etc. is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on the 2nd of Rabiul Awal. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's illness had commenced 13 days prior to that. 13 days prior to the 2nd of Rabiul Awal, on the 19th of Safar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's illness had commenced, and on the 2nd of Rabiul Awal, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world. Inshallah, we will continue. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ali wa sahbi ajma'in. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wasallam bima huwa ahluh.